Hi, I'm Eric.
No, I'm Jason.
And I'm Chris.
And we're I Beat It First, and this is E3 Day 5.
2018.
The final boss.
Bum, bum, bum!
Don't summon beer.
I cast heat ball.
It's very effective.
Oh, man.
Super effective.
Oh, so many nerd jokes in the opening. Hello, everybody. Welcome to I Beat It First podcast. E3, last day, 2018, like we just said.
Woohoo! Yay!
Super excited. Super happy.
We're not recording this at 11 o'clock at night.
Yes.
Yeah, thank God. The sun is still out, which unfortunately, we have to turn the air conditioner off in the room because it's too loud.
God, this room sucks so bad.
And it's going to get warm.
It's going to get warm, so we're going to play hurry up offense here.
On the plus side, this isn't the worst room that we've been in.
No, it's not.
No, not at all.
So, all right. So, we are going to jump right into things. And first on the list, we had some hiccups getting in because no one knew what the fuck was going on for day three because they hadn't done the industry / VIPs and gamers at the same time in a year. So, yeah, we had to wait in an hour-long line for Tomb Raider.
Yeah, super salt because last day, I mean, honestly, last day should be in the future if ESA wants to do this continual bullshit of letting gamers in or whatever.
1 hour stagger.
1 hour, stagger period anyway.
Yes.
Or at the very best, what they should just do is 2 days of press and industry and then on Thursday, just gamers.
I want 3 days of press and industry and a fourth day of gamers.
Either way.
I don't want to cut my E3 time in half. I mean, we would miss out on a lot of stuff.
That's true. It'd be 33% less E3 time that we have, and we're just jam-packed as it is. So I agree with you on that, Eric, but I mean, if worse comes to worse, because I mean, now we're talking about not just our schedules, but other company schedules. So I'm just thinking, like, what can they do? Because obviously, I think all three of us agree that if we can change anything, it'd be get rid of the gamers again. Like,
please,
this is not a con.
Please get rid of the gamers. Yeah, oh my God, and somebody fucking called it a con in one of the lines earlier.
They're trying to make it a con so bad. And I get that. I understand there's money to be made, but it's just like, come on, that's not what the point of this is. And it's obvious.
You can buy those mystery boxes now, so now it's a con.
It shouldn't be a con, though.
Exactly.
It shouldn't be, but it is now.
It's not a con. They keep trying to make it a con.
It's a bastardization of something that we love. That's why we're upset about it. I mean, just like old men asking...
Not just something that we love?
Well, I mean, it's like we could be old men asking for, like, people to get off our lawns, and our lawn is E3. So maybe this is the future. I'm just trying to think of, like, hey, all right, if gamers are going to be in, then let's try to mitigate how much they affect people doing their fucking job.
E3 is my lawn.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Get off our lawn. That's what we are. We're the Clint Eastwood of E3 being like, yo, we've been here forever.
Get off my Fortnite lawn carpet.
Quit walking up to us and asking us weird questions just because we have a different colored badge than you. We don't care.
Oh my God, yes. Just because your badge has a different color than mine doesn't mean I work for fucking Nintendo.
Right, and again, this isn't like hating on gamers in themselves, we're gamers ourselves and stuff like that. I'm hating on the mob mentality that comes with letting in an extra X thousand people that are just like faceless. They take on this like a persona that they don't, what they can do and say, they feel like they can be more brash than normal. And obviously, if I could talk to every single person one-on-one, I'd probably be like a whole bunch of friends. But when I'm trying to work, trying to get around, I just don't have the time for that. And that's where my problem comes in.
Right, like, I mean, we talked to a guy with the Gamer Pass outside for a little bit while we're drinking some beers, you know, having a good time, and it was fine, like, talking one-on-one or something, perfectly fine. But
awesome dude.
This is not the place for that.
But he was talking to us when we were obviously relaxing. It was just like, hey, we're just chilling out. And
he was cool
being,
he was respectable.
Like, engaging. He wasn't like, hey, can you help me get in somewhere because you don't have a Gamer Pass? He was like, dude.
No, he was just talking shop.
He was just playing around, like, tact. Tact is what it's about, and unfortunately, mob mentality doesn't have tact. So, on that happy note, let's get into some fucking games.
Yep, so Tomb Raider. We all got a chance to play Tomb Raider.
Yep, for about 5 minutes.
Mine is sullied, unfortunately, because you couldn't change the camera inversion, and it was just, there's so much looking around that you have to do in that game that it was fucking. But that was the demo version. There were a lot of demo versions that allowed for me to invert the camera, but it's just because I couldn't get a good grasp at it. It was just fucking me up. And I only had 5 minutes.
The menu was limited because obviously.
We only had five minutes, so I didn't get a good grasp because it was just fucking me up. But, however...
The reason why we had 5 minutes...
Movement was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, movement was good. The reason why we had five minutes too.
We already talked about why we have 5 minutes.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, we did. So,
we had another meeting to go to.
Well, we're gonna get to that meeting next, dude. Jesus Christ. The reason why we only had five minutes.
You never explained that.
The reason why we only had 5 minutes is because we were sitting. We had to sit in a goddamn line because everything was fucked. And now we're gonna go on to what our meeting was next.
Last day. We all hate each other. Last day. Fuck you.
No, it's just
fuck
Chris.
You.
No, it's just fuck everybody. Being a dumbass. Not explaining shit correctly.
Oh my god, love it.
Explaining shit correctly. No, you're not. Am I gonna have to mute your fucking channel? I can't.
I gotta mute you.
Fight!
All right. So anyways, you guys give your goddamn impressions, and then we'll talk about why we only had 5 fucking minutes.
Or you can just fucking explain that to begin with.
Go!
I hate both of you so much. So goddamn much.
Video game podcast!
Yeah!
Shut the fuck up and talk about video games.
So Lara Croft,
how high we are.
Lara Croft looks amazing. Graphically, it is like stellar. And some of the death scenes, some of like the water work that goes on in it is very nice. Not too much has changed over the years. They've made a little few texture updates from what I could tell from this demo version. But other than that, it looked amazing. There's a crowd scene where you're trying to sneak by. The video game podcast was shitty. But the demo was very rushed, it felt. Like, you could tell that they were just, like, trying to show you little, like, 3-second, like, iterations or whatever.
I knew for a fact that that was like...
It was like
that
super
hurried. There was a whole lot of trailing that we were missing. There was a whole lot of eavesdropping.
Yeah,
like, she suddenly went from a bar to a cat or to a shopping district to an ancient Mayan temple.
Right. It's just like, okay, we're there now. So, I mean, there was a lot to it, but you can tell it's just going to be the same, like, jumping around action, visceral, like, stuff that's just going to happen. Make your arrowheads.
Yep.
Shoot people in the head.
Climb an ice wall.
Stab people in the
Tomb
back.
Tomb Raider.
Hide.
Chris,
Tomb Raider.
What'd you think?
Great.
I thought it was pretty good.
Are you sure we only had 5 minutes? Because we need to tell them why we had 5 minutes, you know.
No, we had 5 minutes. We couldn't complete the demo because we had to rush out of there.
I'm so glad you guys were so nice and we're all such good friends. We definitely do not have any animosity in this podcast.
No.
The best part is that we're actually still laughing, so it's okay. But what did you actually think of the play, the mechanics and whatnot?
I thought the mechanics were fine. It played really well. I haven't played the other two Tomb Raiders, because no.
You should.
I should.
You really should.
I only played the first one, very, very small. But I did play the second one. I played a bit of that one, and it's good.
Yeah.
They've done a really good job since then.
Really impressive.
Since they rebooted it. Sorry,
it's a great cinematic experience that is not Nathan Drake.
Right,
so, I mean,
and playing through it, I had
Nathan Drake.
I had zero issues. I didn't have to really look at the little control mechanism, whatever that they have there. I could just play it.
Yeah.
It worked.
Yeah.
Everything was pretty normal.
Yeah.
Which is good. All right. So to answer Chris's question, we only had 5 minutes to play the demo, which was, I would assume, a 15-minute demo, because we had to get across the way to Activision because we had a scheduled demo with them for Call of Duty Black Ops 4 and for Destiny Forsaken, or Destiny 2 Forsaken.
Destiny 2 Forsaken. And so we first played Destiny 2.
Forsaken.
Do what?
Urinal cake too, Forsaken.
Urinal cake
too, Forsaken.
You know what? If you are already a fan of Destiny, this is more Destiny. I personally knew going in this year that I wasn't going to buy Destiny right off the bat just because it was just like, no, you know what? They fucked us pretty hardcore, the DLC and stuff like that. I'm going to wait. And even if you bought the expansion pack, it looks like this is not included in that. This is a whole new, fresh on expansion. Like more.
It's
like
it is a new expansion.
Yes.
But they did not specifically
previously
say
previously unannounced. But like that, I feel like that's a little bit of a bullshit.
Well, they did not say that it's not included like with season pass or anything like that. Like that's a whole
okay.
Separate
I should
thing.
Yeah, you're right. I should clarify. If you bought like the expansion pass, it only came with the two expansions. This is now number three.
Did it officially only come with the two?
It only came with two.
What the fuck?
Oh, yeah. That sucks.
You buy an expansion pass and it only comes with two expansions that are released within the first year.
Unless I'm horribly wrong, because you know what? Honestly, I didn't read into it too much because I already Jesus. Knew that I was already like.
I hope you're wrong.
I hope so too. Because well, here's why. Because I was looking online to be like, hey, maybe I'll pick up Destiny finally. I could find it Destiny Vanilla for like $10 on Amazon. I was like, that's a perfect buy-in price for me for this game because then I won't care as much. But then looking at the expansion passes and stuff like that, $39.99 got me an expansion pass and Destiny 2, but it did not include Forsaken.
Expansion 1 and Expansion 2.
I know.
That's it.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that's... Yeah.
I feel
I
like,
pulled it up. I confirmed it for you. I pulled it up. It is only two expansions.
I feel
for
like
the
this
first
is,
year.
I feel like this is like the second time now. They're just like, fuck you, players. Like, no one gives a shit. Yeah. Spend this money.
Now,
it was a really
say,
cool game mode, too.
I will say, going outside of the politics of it, I thought it was a cool game mode. I thought the whole PvE with a little bit of PvP in there, two teams going head-to-head to kill a boss in two different areas at the same time.
And you can invade.
Was really cool. And the invasion was awesome.
And I went so salty because only so I could turn it around and say that that game mode was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I loved
it
the shit
so
out of
fun.
It. The bow and arrow was so clean. I loved the fuck out of it. I couldn't stop using it.
That bow and arrow
couldn't
was
stop
great
using
for
it.
Snipers.
Oh my god, I was just like owning everywhere. Every time I invaded, took out two people, they would pull me back, go back in, kill more people, get some more nodes. That was a great frantic multiplayer experience without having to be PvP, and it allowed people that aren't so great at PvP, Chris, to still perform in a game with
Wait,
people who
you
are
were
good.
Worse than me?
Oh, Chris is so bad.
Actually, that second
no,
game,
hey,
dude,
hey,
I
hey.
Was fucking owning people left and right.
It's not that I'm bad. I'm bad at consoles.
Okay, touche, touche. Yeah. This
consoles.
Is true.
I kicked ass at Battlefield 5.
Yeah. It took me a few minutes to get my bearings in Destiny because I don't really play console shooters at all, and I don't play much shooters anymore because I don't have a PC built for it. But after we went through that first mode, I was fucking mowing down people.
Yeah, the second round was
oh
way better
God,
once we knew what was going on.
Oh,
yeah.
It was much closer to the other people, too, because we were going head-to-head, obviously. And the ending for it, like, we had our boss down to, like, a quarter health.
Slivers.
And the other team killed their boss first. So it's all about, man, they were good at banking those nodes because you can... You can continually bank the nodes, or
I think our fourth person
called.
That we didn't know wasn't banking like at all.
Yeah, but you can continually bank them, and as long as you don't die, you're perfectly fine.
Right.
So as long as you do really well, you can continually bank them. I think I had 11 or 12 at one point, but they had a guy literally who like they were sitting at 6 or like 57, and then suddenly like boom, they jumped to 80.
Yeah, I saw
so
that
they,
too.
Like, that guy banked, like, 20-something of them. It was insane.
Well, like I said, I think our fourth in our party wasn't doing anything to bank them. She may have had, like, 1,000 on her.
She wasn't
She was more about,
well.
Yeah, I mean, we're on the media side.
No, I heard her saying that she wasn't playing very
well.
Well,
also, we were on the media side, so she was more concerned about taking pictures and getting stuff done. Like,
yeah,
good
she
for
was
her.
Out there, she's like, oh, my God, I'm sucking.
We should probably be that professional, too, but unfortunately, we're all gamers, so we'd rather play the fucking game.
Well, because I'd rather play the game and
talk
about it. Talk
about it, yeah.
I'm not a picture guy.
Exactly. We're all fucking ugly.
Yeah.
So,
ugly.
Boo Destiny for Destiny Politics. Hooray Destiny for creating a phenomenal game mode.
Yeah, that game mode's good. If they, once they like release something where it's that game mode and the game, I might
be willing to do that.
And I'm not that Destiny guy. I'm not the PvP guy.
Destiny's
stuff
clean,
like that.
Man.
It's,
like the gunplay is great.
It's clean. I just
it's
don't have
the politics.
Time.
It's pure politics. It's the only reason why Destiny's not like the number one game ever made. Like it'd be so easy for them to go toe to toe with like the likes of Halo and anything else, but they just are deciding like, you know what? I'd rather have money.
I like how you said Halo. when it's by Bungie who created
that's
Halo.
Why I said that. That's 100% why I said that. Like, they could do it again. Like, lightning could strike twice, but they just decided not.
We're going to stop talking politics of video games now because we have a fuckload of video games to talk about. And we need to move on. So next, we then played Call of Duty Black Ops 4.
Well, this is easy because they changed literally nothing.
It was Call of Duty Black Ops
3. Yeah, from Black Ops 3. It's the same graphic engine, it looks like, if not worse somehow.
There were some tweaks, but, like, the gameplay, but realistically, I mean, it was entertaining, but it's also then I sat there, I'm like, yeah, I would play maybe, like, three of these, and then I'd be done for, like, 3 months.
If you hated World War II... and you love Black Ops 3, then you'll love this one.
Yeah. And there were a lot of people that hated World War II and went back to Black Ops 3 specifically because of the mechanics and whatnot. They don't care. And you know what, though? Who gives a fuck about the engine if the game plays well?
Correct.
And I am firmly in that camp of, like, I don't care, you know, if it's not the latest and greatest and whatnot. As long as it plays well. It played pretty well. And I could see why people that love playing first-person shooters online would really, like, adhere to this game.
There's a lot of more different mechanics for each class that I enjoyed a little bit more, that if you're not getting kill streaks, there's still something special that you can do, more akin to the Black Ops style.
Yes.
But again, really, it comes down to, if you love Black Ops, you'll love this one.
I just think World War II did everything way better personally, but again, different studio, different engine.
But that's your preference.
And yes. The biggest thing about that is that it's also a completely different time period. So, do you want more modern or do you want older? So,
and this is way more fast-paced.
It was really fast-paced. It took me a long time to get my bearings before I started getting some actual kills. My KD ratio was fucking low the first match or two.
I was happy to be at 1.11. I thought that was pretty good.
Dude, I was at 0.2 for never playing for my first one.
Wow,
point
I was
two?
At like
point
two.
I will put that out there. I was at point two.
I thought I did bad at .7.
They had one guy that was loaded out with a sniper rifle, and I just kept running into him. And
I would come around
a corner and boom.
That last round, I was nemesis on him because he was pretty
that
good.
That guy was good.
He had it down.
Yeah, the guys that we were playing with were much better.
Because again, we're playing on the media side, and I think that looking over at them, because I got up when we got up, I looked at them. I think that the media aspect of them was that they were actually a team, and they were there for coverage.
They weren't media side.
We were.
Remember, we got thrown in, like, quickly. Like, we had to wait for Destiny, and it was all media when we went in.
That makes way more sense, because these are the fuckers now that are waiting 3 hours to play this game.
Yeah, I think that we hit real hardcore. A team of guys that are really hardcore into Black Ops.
That makes way more sense.
It makes total sense.
I don't know about hardcore, because I wouldn't have been 1.1 if they were hardcore.
Yeah, you could have. You started getting better, and you'd already started getting your bearings with Destiny. So you got a little warm-up with Destiny 2 as far as doing it, but not as fast-paced.
No.
I don't know. Whatever.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Call of Duty.
Yep. Next, we did. We had a twofer. One game that we really wanted to see, and one game that was put out by the same studio, so we sat and watched it. And so, first one. Was Adventure Time Pirates of the Enchiridion, which comes out in July. It was fucking hilarious.
It was hilarious. Looked awesome.
Yeah.
Full-fledged open-world RPG.
Looked just like the show.
Yeah, it was... It's at that... It's, I think, at the furthest point that they can get without making a huge graphical, like, change to something where it really looks like a cartoon. Like, you could tell that it was a video game if you put the two together.
Yeah.
But it was really close. And it was written really well, and it was written by a guy who used to write for the show and wrote a bunch of games. So all the dialogue in there is accurate to Finn and Jake, which is awesome.
Yep. I am not the biggest fan of Adventure Time. And even
anymore, you used to be a huge fan of
Adventure Time. I like all things nerd, you know, so I'd be all up in on stuff. And I would say before, because I only got caught up on Adventure Time, and anyway, here and there. I'm not a huge fan. I'm not caught up on all the lore, but some of the jokes, some of the things were funny enough that it's obviously a great RPG focused towards kids that, like, hey, you know, if the adults there in the room at the same time, they'll have a good chuckle as well, just like the show.
The one plus side is that they quasi-approved that crowdsourcing a name for a boat on the internet might be okay.
Yes.
So they crowdsourced the name for the boat on there, and they did say that Bodie McBoatface was on the final list, but the number one name for the boat was
Jeff.
Jeff.
Boat Jeff.
Jeff. And it fits so well on the placard on the back of the boat that it was like they couldn't have written it better themselves. It was pretty awesome. And it was the one thing that I did make sure that I wrote down is Boat Jeff, and it was modeled after the Jaws boat, which was great because at the very beginning they run across like some Kraken, and then Jake says, "We're gonna need a bigger boat."
So, again, more the adult humor that's in with the thing. Because a 15-year-old to 8-year-old would not get that joke.
Yep.
No.
So they did tell us you will get 4 characters. So you've got Finn, Jake, Marceline, and BMO. So you will rescue them, and then all 4 characters will come around with you, and they'll actually be separate. So, like, all 4 will roam around with you around the world, and then they'll take part in battles, which is cool.
Yep. And
battles actually look pretty good. I like the fact that they made it a little bit easier so that younger kids can pick it up as well.
Super easy, yeah.
So you can put, in one turn, you can both heal and attack.
Yes.
So it's a little bit of a watered-down RPG. But you know what? It's not meant just for adults. It's meant to be something that can be enjoyed by the family. And I like that.
Full voice acting by everybody.
And Jake can... Oh, yeah. Jake can turn into a scooter.
Yep, Jake can turn into a scooter.
You can ride him around.
I'm pretty sure that he can turn into other things, too, that we don't know about. I bet you that there's some combination where there's Finn in the Jake suit that you can do. And if so, fuck yes.
Yes.
But, yeah, it was really cool, actually. And the fact that they do little Finn and Jake sea chanties while you're riding around in your boat, because the whole premise is that the Ice Kingdom has melted because something went wrong with the Ice King's powers. So you're in a boat, Boat Jeff, and as you go from place to place after you complete a quest, Finn and Jake will start singing a sea chanty. And the cool thing about it is the sea chanty gives a recap of what's happened, so that if you finish a quest, turn it off, come back like a week later and you're like, crap, I forgot what happened. You get in the boat, you start going to the next place, and Finn and Jake start singing about what's happened.
Very fun. Yep. I enjoyed watching it. Is it an insta-buy for me? No. But if I had kids, yes.
Ronan's going to love watching
It was much more impressive than the Storm the Dungeon for reasons. I don't remember what the name of that title was because I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. I will say, though, that when they came across the bad bananas, that was hilarious.
Yeah, because they were bad.
Yeah, they were bad.
I immediately regret this decision.
Yeah, they had bruises and everything. It was awesome.
Bad banana guards.
Yeah. Yep. I did like that I asked the guy. I swear that guy, I think that he was actually from the Adventure Time, group. And I asked him, I'm like, is there a part where I can summon and turn them into banana bread? And he looked at me, he's like, that's a great idea. Anywho, so I thought that was really good. The next one that we watched was Crayola Scoot. I'm pretty sure that I'm the only one that needs to talk during this. It's basically you as a kid riding around on a scooter in a park. They got 3 different parks. It's kind of like a Crayola meets Splatoon. So, or a scooter game meets Splatoon. You can do cool little tricks, and you can do a lot of cool little head-to-head stuff.
Tony Hawk's Splatoon.
Yeah, Tony Hawk's Pro Splatoon.
Yes.
There we go.
My mom always said not to make fun of special children, so I won't say anything.
It's good for kids.
It's good for kids.
That's the big thing, and that's what it's geared towards. It is a game for kids. And you know what? I'm not going to fault somebody for making a game geared specifically towards kids.
Totally.
Yeah, kids need to have games to play, too. They may all, for the most part, suck, but, it's okay.
Moving on.
Next, we did a trip to Sega.
Finally.
Ooh, Sega.
We did touch on this a little bit last night, that we gave an award to Valkyria Chronicles, and we keep forgetting to talk about it. So Valkyria Chronicles 4.
Yay.
We gave an award to it, and it was great.
Yeah, we played at the Xbox showcase on Sunday. The whole time. We're finally fucking talking about it now, because it was at the Sony booth, gave an award. Fantastic gameplay. It's a spirit. It is an actual.
It was at the Sega booth, not the Sony booth.
Oh, sorry, Sega booth. My bad. It is an actual sequel to the actual original. Chronicles.
Was,
so none of this spin-off bullshit anymore. So it plays fantastic. New class called Grenadier. That does
Grenadier.
A lot of whatever. Does a lot of abilities. Everything else is back in that you love and see the movement, the tactile, the tactics behind it. all still the same. Just now it looks gorgeous and sharp and crisp.
Yeah, Jason and I both played it and we looked at each other like, yeah, Ward.
Insta buy for me.
I mean, especially considering the fact that it's so true to the original like parts of the series.
Right, I love the fact that it's actually finally a sequel. Yeah. Like, that was the thing to me. Like, I played the Vita one and I was just like, eh, it's just not the same.
You lose a lot with it.
You lose a whole lot with it.
It's 4, but really it should be 2.
Yeah.
Honestly, Chris, you're right. Like they had to keep it going because 2, and I don't even remember 3 because I think I was so turned off.
It was a DS game, I think.
That would be why. So, it's just because those were all like, not spin-offs, but just like, here's what's going on meanwhile, you know, type thing.
Yeah,
you
know what I think is the only redeeming part about Valkyria Chronicles 2? Is that if you had it, and you had a PlayStation TV, you could put it actually onto your TV.
Oh my god, that's not a redeeming quality of that game.
I'm the only one that has a PlayStation TV. Like, probably the only person in the U.S. that has a PlayStation TV.
No, there's a huge, huge hackathon market of behind the PSP TV.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I need to find these fucking people.
Yeah, oh yeah, you can easily, well, unless you've updated recently, but you can pretty well turn that thing into a Raspberry Pi.
I had to update recently.
You should look into it still, though.
I should. Yeah, I had to update for another game that we did. I forget which game it was. It was like a month ago, month and a half ago.
Happens. Great game. Looking forward to it.
Yep. All right. Next, Jason jumped right into Disgaea 1 Complete.
So it's Disgaea back on now on the Switch. If you played Disgaea back on the PS2 days, it looks the exact same, if not a little bit crisper, because obviously it's been like, what, 20 years? So, glad to have that back. It's still the same holy crap tactics action that if you need to control every single minute thing that's going on, it's the game for you. Such a great storyline is the only reason why. It sounds like I'm being down on it, but such a great storyline that you need to, like, play it if you're into tactics at all. Great story. Being able to play on a portable console is a huge help. It's been on the Vita before, too, but that small screen, hopefully the larger screen on the Switch will help out a whole lot. Put it on the big screen TV, though, there wasn't that much of an appeal for me because I've played this before, and it's chory because there's a lot to do. So it's
like
not
most
really
tactics games.
Exactly.
One battle takes 30 minutes.
If you've played it before, this is not a reason for you to go pick it up again and replay it again unless you love the fuck out of it. But if you haven't played it, this is a great game, and now is the time for you to get into it, because if they're doing one, they may do the whole series. And you know what? It's a great series to really play into if you're loving tactics.
Yep.
Because it's crazy and an awesome story.
All right. Next, I played Labyrinth of Refrain, which it's not it. Okay. It's a dungeon crawler.
I was actually super impressed with it.
Yeah. Oh, no. Graphically, it's really good. It actually moves really fast. Like, you can zip through the dungeon, which is awesome. There's a little bit, but not quite a random battle, a random encounter. As you go through, like, enemies would pop up onto your map, and then they move in a pattern. So you don't necessarily, like, you can avoid them. You don't have, like, a weird random encounter. I was telling Jason as I was playing, he's like, I never really thought that I wanted a resurgence of this type of game until I started playing The Lost Child.
So by resurgence of what he's talking about,
old school dungeon
and Lost Child, is that, like, let's think about, like, to bring more to a mass appeal market. But to bring more to mass appeal market.
Yeah.
Think Elder Scrolls 2.
Yeah.
Like, it is like not you're even walking down a hallway and enemies will show up and then you have your character sheets right there in front of you. It's about as brass tacks to D&D that you can get without being D&D.
Yep.
And yeah, I was watching you play that for a minute and I was just like, dang, that does look kind of fun to play.
Yeah. Playing The Lost Child, even though it's a long game and going through the dungeons is really long, it's fun. Like, I really miss those old school games. And they've done enough updating it with the story and voiceovers and stuff like that in those types of games now to make it not feel so stale and old. So it still feels a little bit fresh.
Yeah. It looked very entertaining.
So I really like that game. When it comes out, I'm probably going to get it.
Cool.
All right. So next, Jason played Monster Boy and the Cursed Kingdom.
Actually, well, we'll do Monster Boy first. So Monster Boy was
I'm skipping around on this list. I'm adjusting things.
To sparse out? Yeah,
well,
okay.
Yes, because I don't want you doing like 5 games in a row.
I play all the games. Monster Boy was fun. It was like take Dragon Quest like things, and then like put them into like a side-scrolling like adventure RPG style where jump and attack is basically all you do, and each character has its own little special attack. But instead of like having like a team, you only have one character at a time, so you can kind of switch between them, and each person has their own abilities to how to get around the world. It's super like accurate on jumping around, so if you miss a ledge by like just half a hair, it's unforgiving in that matter.
So it's like accurate platforming.
You need to be spot on with everything, with your attacks, with all the jazz like that. Zero idea to the story. It seems to be there's enough save points along the way that it's more of the puzzle type, like, hey, get this far, solve this solution, eat this, throw up that, barf fire at this thing, shoot that. It's interesting.
Wait. Throw up that, barf fire? Wait, what?
So one of your characters is a frog. He can eat things. Another one's a pig. He can shoot fire. Like, it's just random stuff. That's where the monster boy comes in.
So I think I played it too, and I think it started at the beginning.
Sure. Yeah, you did.
I think it chose the other mode, where basically some wizard guy, whatever, was flying on like a barrel or something, it was saying. And then, like, you turn all the villagers into animals, so, like, your younger brother's like, a little dragon.
Oh, it's so, really good to get a little bit of
contrast
bit
here.
Of reference here.
Yeah, we have no idea what's going on. Yeah. The gameplay is only supposed to be about a 12 to 14 hour game, so it's definitely a smaller title just to get you through whatever you want to do. But there is some stuff there for you.
All right, so next, Chris played Ease 8 on the Switch.
Yes, and so I played it. It was actually pretty fun.
What's the rest of it called? Sorry, I just realized that. I'm like, I know it's not just Ease 8. It's like Lacrimosa something or other.
Super Japanese title.
Like that. Yeah.
Lancria, Lancia, something
like
Dana.
Lacrimosa of
Dana.
You got it. Lacrimosa of Dana. Impressed. Actually kind of impressed.
It's like let's take Latin and put it into the most Japanese sounding name.
Yeah. But it's actually really fun. It's a good like action JRPG. It's not that turn-based style. You're actually in the world. You don't go in these counters. You see the enemies, you attack them. And it was really actually fun. I gave it an award. We might talk about on the site a little more in depth in like a week.
I think there's some information that we may have received that we're going to talk about a little bit further on down the line. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
What?
What?
Huh? I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Legitimate podcast!
Legitimate video game podcast.
Nice.
Yes.
All right. So the final game that we played at the Sega, and actually, I'm sorry, we have been slightly misspeaking this entire time, Sega/Atlas.
Yes.
Yes.
At the Sega/Atlas booth was Super Neptunia RPG. Now, hang on one second. I find Captain Lolly over here fucking hilarious because of the fact that he does not remember that this is a series that's been around for, like, 10-plus years.
Y'all call me Captain Lolly, and obviously I'm not. I don't remember this game at all.
Well, right. You don't remember it because you're too into those lollies. There's too many for you to remember.
He's so into the lollies that he misses the lolly games.
Well, it's just, he doesn't remember them all because there's too many.
It's just a blur of lollies. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, just a blur of lollies.
Oh, my God. So, yes, I did play Super Neptunia RPG on at the Sega booth. And you know what?
It's based off of the Hyper Dimension Neptunia
For all its lolly aspects, they did have a pretty decent RPG turn-based style to it, where depending on the position of your characters, and you could rotate them in like a circular pattern, depending on how they could attack.
Circular 360 degree.
There's nothing I can say to make this not sound sexual.
You were doing panty shots, you sick pervert.
Unfortunately, I was not. If,
wait. So you were wanting to do it?
If it was possible, if it was possible, I would peach all over the place.
You would near trophy that?
I would near trophy the fuck out of that. What are you doing?
All right, hang on. I think since I'm the only one that really knows what this is, I need to give a little backstory. Hyperspace Neptunia was a game that was created back in the PS2, Xbox, and GameCube/Wii era. Somebody decided they wanted to make the physical lolly Japanese anime personification of the console wars. This is a legit, super legit fucking concept that someone came up with. And it has been run with for a long fucking time. I have heard good things about the battle system, but I've never brought myself to purchase any of these games.
Yeah.
No. I've thought about it, and I'm like, I just can't do it.
I'm right there with
and
you.
And now Jason's going to buy it.
Oh, yeah. Jason's going to legit buy this
game.
Dude,
I played it. Battle system is awesome. I get it.
That is what I hear.
I can see where it is. Am I willing to stand up to like anyone walking in while I'm playing this game? I don't know about that. But I will say this. It keeps my tally going because I broke the fucking game.
It keeps your tallywhacker going?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does.
I can't believe you broke the fucking game.
By breaking
he
it.
He did.
By breaking lollies.
Like, did it freeze? I'm like, God damn, Jason, you break everything.
Yeah, she's like, no, I think the demo system there was like, no, I think it froze. I'm just like, that's what I do. I break your demos.
I'm out.
Yeah, just like.
I need to charge. I should be like, yo, if I break this, I get $1,000.
Just
I'll
like
show you where the bugs are.
Jason really, really, really wants to play Little Witch Academia.
But only if I get a review copy. I'm
not
about to buy it.
It's not dirty if you don't buy it.
Yes, it's not creepy if you get it for free. Oh, you need me to review it? Okay.
I'm forced to play it.
But going on Amazon being like, Little Witch Academia, please.
All right,
I need that day one delivery right
now. I now know what to do. For a Super Neptunia RPG, it goes to this guy. All right.
Yay, Sega! Yay. We passed up completely on the dancing games because really, cash grab is what cash grab is.
On
hooray! The dancing, Persona dancing games.
Oh, yeah, the Persona dancing games.
Has anyone ever been like, wow, that was a game I totally worthwhile
honestly,
playing?
Honestly? We only passed up on it because there was a line.
There was a line, but like last year when we played
Persona
4
dance.
Dancing,
we got our cool picture.
I know all they're doing is just banking off the storyline and you're increasing it out. I know that there's a niche for it, but come on.
Who wants to dance with Anne?
Yeah. All right, I'll shut up.
All right.
Got to make that money for Persona 6.
Oh, yeah, they do. They got to fund Persona 6.
Touché.
All right.
Do,
so next, I actually got a dev like demo and I got to play Space Hulk, which is fucking awesome. If you don't know what Space Hulk is, but you know what this podcast is. You know, Warhammer 40K, that's my jam.
That's all Eric.
And this game was awesome. So Space Hulk is a Warhammer 40K game that was developed. It's actually a board game that is separate from the standard Warhammer 40K universe. And you basically have tiles. It's a lot like if you've ever played any of the other D&D actual board games to where you set the tiles and you create like a setup. But the basic premise is that you have your Space Marine Terminators that are on a Space Hulk, which is a space station, and it is overrun by the Tyranid Gene Stealers. Gene Stealers basically, it's basically like Aliens. Like the movie Aliens. That's basically what it is.
Yeah, nice.
But your premise is that Gene Stealers are really hard to kill. Like, you can kill them easily, but there's a swarm, and that's the big thing about them. There's way more Gene Stealers than there are of aliens and aliens.
Fuck swarms.
So they come at you, much like what StarCraft, but StarCraft stole this from there. StarCraft stole this from the Space Hulk series, as far as the swarms and everything like that. Blizzard stole everything from the Warhammer series. Which also then stole it from Tolkien, but that's beside the point. So the whole premise is, okay, Gene Stealers are on here. We need to blow up the ship. Like, that's all that Space Hulk is you need to go to specific areas with a flame guy and ignite them so that you can blow up the entire space station. That's what it does. They're really good tactical sets. You have to move through the corridors. The corridors are very small. They're only one character wide, so you can't go around somebody. And Terminators are giant fucking suited guys, so you really have nothing to do at that point. Once you start going down a corridor, you have to set position and everything like that, like who's turned which way, and make sure that you've got the proper guys out there with the proper guns. But then go through there. What really set it off for me, because that pretty much it plays exactly like playing the tabletop, which is fine. I love the tabletop version.
Yeah, but what we really know you set do. It off, we know you do.
Yeah. What really set it off is that they have a ship or a Hulk editor to where you can make your own Space Hulk. And you can share them online. Jeez. They all load up to a server, and you and your friends can play on custom maps, just like as if you're doing the game, because the game gets laid out randomly, so that you can make your own set. Really cool, but you can also set the Hulks to be either Imperium, which is the standard Space Marines, or Eldar, which is my fucking jam, or Orc, and they all look fucking great. The game played really, really well. The mechanics were awesome. It was a little slow because there were like real legit character animations for the Terminators moving, which do not move fast. But beyond that, though,
it's also a tactics game.
Yeah, it's a tactics game, but no, I mean like the movement of them from place to place was slow because Terminators are slow. But it was a fun game. I really liked it. I gave it an award. It was fucking awesome. They have been doing a lot of really good things with the Warhammer franchise, and I'm excited. But awesome. That's enough about me pressing X all over my microphone here. So while I was doing that...
Yeah, Chris and I were busy getting our mainstream review action on.
Not something super, super fucking nerdy.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, that's just like, well, what are we doing here? If you haven't noticed, a lot of our stuff that we've been talking about isn't like, you know, obviously we're not just giving Bethesda out all of our stuff. We're not just giving Ubisoft all of our stuff.
There's nothing really to give Ubisoft.
Or EA. Indeed.
Or EA. You know, we're really looking for games that really make us jump out of our skin and make us interested. You know, it's like, hey, this is something I really am interested in playing, and not just a rehash of a past game. Oh, Eric, can you give me some of that soju action, please?
Yes, I will.
I am
definitely
soju.
Needing some of that.
Soju us up.
So while Eric was playing Space Hulk, we were Chris and I were checking out Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which is probably the largest game that we have on our docket just from checking
out. Call of Duty Black Ops 4. It's probably the bigger one.
You know what? That's a good point, Eric. Yeah. I'm probably giving it more credit than it really should be given. Yeah. Ubisoft Odyssey is just doing their Ubisoft thing where they're like, hey, we made a really good game because we stopped like just shovel-wearing, and now we're going to... shovelware again, and Odyssey uses the same engine, same everything, to build off of again Assassin's Creed Origins.
It doesn't bring back Desmond.
It still doesn't bring back Desmond.
Oh, you like this last game? Okay, let's smoke this some more.
Well, there was some new enhancements. There's a battle system, like war system going on, a lot more seafaring activities that can go on that are seamless, which is nice to see. It's like, don't get me wrong, they're making improvements. But again, if Ubisoft's going to fall back into their yearly Assassin's Creed releases, I'm just going to take a step back and I'll wait for the copies to come out when I don't need to worry about bugs and all that stuff like that.
Wait, okay, so I'm just going to jump in real quick that I haven't seen anything for this game and I didn't even put two and two together that there could be sea warfare in this game.
Yeah. Well,
it's but I should have because of the Odyssey.
Odyssey? Yeah.
But yes. I feel like very low on the nerd totem pole for not putting that together.
But
I'm sorry.
Speaking of bugs, there was one very obvious one we saw of this guy just on the ship, just like everyone's like singing their song. This one dude just running in place, like running in the back of this other dude, just continually running.
Yeah, there were a few bugs.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say that one guy in the back of the ship just was like sitting there doo-doo-doo-doo, and randomly jumped off.
Well, he disappeared, so who knows what happened to him. Yeah.
He got stolen by the Kraken.
You can't Spartan kick people, and they're showing a naval battle, and you can Spartan kick people off the ship.
Yes, and this is Sparta.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, but there's sharks, and so you can kick them off, and then a shark can come eat them. If the sharks are circling around.
That's kind
of
cool.
There's a lot of really cool stuff.
Can I start
stuff.
A tornado?
And you know what? You know what? It's still an Assassin's Creed game based off of the Assassin's Creed Origins ending engine. And Assassin's Creed Origins was amazing. So if you ended Assassin's Creed Origins, you're just like, you know what? I need more. I really just enjoy the fuck out of this. Then this is going to, like, just get you going. Because it's phenomenal. It fits all of that. It's still a gorgeous-looking game. The water looks amazing, like it did in Origins. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just it's not anything new. And I just can't get behind that like I used to. I'm jaded as fuck anymore doing this for so long. But if that's your fancy, you're gonna love it. If not, press the brakes a little bit and you'll enjoy picking it up.
Buy it.
If you love Assassin's Creed, this is your jam, insta buy for you. Obviously, there's a lot going on.
There are definitely some cool things we saw in the trailer. I'm like, oh, that's really cool.
If you're looking for the game to buy this year, if you're looking for the game to buy, if you only get one, pump your brakes on Assassin's Creed. It's the same game.
All right. So after that, we went to Bandai. We had our scheduled time with them to watch some videos, get some gameplay in. They showed us an extra long section for Jump Force, which we talked about on Sunday. We did give Jump Force an award, if you don't remember that, because it played really, really well. Jump Force is the one that has all the Shonen Jump characters in it. It's the 50th anniversary of Shonen Jump, so they made this kick-ass game that has a whole bunch of stuff. Things of note, the extended version of it, pretty much, like, if they don't call that confirming that Light and Ryuk are in the game,
that was fucking Ryuk. There's no way that wasn't.
The original video had just the background, and we're like, is that Light and Ryuk? I'm pretty sure that was. And then they show it, and it's like, he's got a fucking apple. Like, it's a front-on piece.
You see his face.
If you know Light and Ryuk, just seeing the teaser they did at the Xbox showcase was enough to be like, that was Light and Ryuk.
Yeah.
Now, if anything, they showed more to be like, okay,
it's definitely Light and Ryuk.
And you're wondering, and it makes you wonder what the story premise is, because the whole thing is that they're merging. I did, as we were watching it, I did mentally think of a hilarious moment where Light tries to kill Goku with the book, but writes down Goku, and that's not his real name. Come on. That's actually comedy gold.
Yes. That is very funny.
Vegeta shows up. Hey, it's actually Kakarot, you dumbass.
And then he writes down Kakarot and Goku died. And then they just use the dragon to bring him back.
It's like the idea of Light running around the whole arena, just scribbling in his notebook, like, frantically. That's what I like more. And Ryuk be like, do you want me to do something? What the hell, man?
But the thing is, it's got to be Ryuk, so then, like, really, Ryuk's the only fighter.
I'm sure one of the special abilities, because that's what this game's all about, is pulling off the special abilities. I'm sure one of the special abilities would be, like, right name.
Yeah, which would be awesome.
I'm sure it will be.
They didn't talk about a lot of the mechanics, and they really added in a lot of the hardcore fighting mechanics that they already have in a lot of other games. So it does sound like they're really going into making this a really good fighting game. So what we've played of it, it's fun. It moves really well. It moves really fluid. You got a good fight. It's good. Next, though, they talked about Divinity Original Sin, which Divinity Original Sin 2. Somebody here is their jam. Is it you?
No. I'm interested.
I mean, I'm interested too, but somebody really likes this. Is it you?
Oh, geez, it's me. Divinity is my jam 100%. Divinity 1 was amazing. I couldn't wait to get my hands on 2. Obviously, been on the PC for a while now, seeing it come to the consoles as expected.
Definitive edition.
Yeah, delightful surprise. There's so much stuff in it that I'm super excited for. I won't go into too much detail on it now, just because you should already know that on the PC versions already, if you're a huge fan. So I'm just super stoked to have that available here soon.
Yeah, they talked a lot about it.
Yeah.
Oh, it looks so good.
It looks good. They made some good changes. Like, they made me sit there and I'm like, I want to play this. And then they're like, well, this one, we wanted this first section to be just like a tutorial. And then we just kept adding and adding and adding. And then it turned into a 20-hour arc. And I'm like, oh, that's a lot of time.
This other area?
Yeah, 40
this is like 40 hours.
Yeah, my favorite part was just like, yeah, this is the 40-hour point. You should actually have a good idea what's going on. She's like, a good idea? 40 hours?
Oh, man.
Our tutorial's about 20 hours long.
Yeah, exactly. Love it.
Fuck. I I wish I had the time to play that game.
I will make time to play Divinity.
I probably will make time to play that game.
It's fun.
It'll be like a, what did you do last night? Well, I was up until like 4 o'clock in the morning.
You borrow my copy.
Then right? I slept, and I woke up at 4:30 to go to the gym. Anywho, after that was Soul Calibur 6, which the one thing that I have of note of this, that like there were a lot of things that they talked about, but the one thing I did have of note of this is that they really focused only on Geralt being in the game and not Noctis.
On the demo version they had, I'm sure they had to make all kinds of like...
Oh, but in the video, and they already did the release.
I know, because I'm sure
they
had to make all kinds of like, please, 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 CPR, like, give us... Like,
yeah.
Witcher, so that we can have it in there. And they were like, hey, you got to, like, feature us. You have to give us a level. They did a whole lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah. But I know a level for Noctis as well. Like, there's a bunch of stuff for Noctis.
I'm sure Noctis was just like, yeah, take us.
Noctis was like, please, please,
probably,
take
exactly.
Me.
That's
please,
the difference.
Please, please. But I did chuckle a little bit that, like, they did Geralt. They talked a whole bunch about a bunch of other stuff. And then that was it. But Geralt, from what I saw in there, I did not play the game. But it looked like they added a lot of really cool stuff that made him fit really well into Soul Calibur.
They also did a lot of stuff to make it so
really
that
well.
Yeah, he did play really well.
Well, because Chris played as.
Yeah,
right?
I played as Geralt.
Yeah,
he played it really well.
They did a lot of stuff to add in to make battles more openly accessible. Because Soul Calibur is one of those games where if you start getting good at it, the second you're good at it, you're light years better than anybody else that's never played it before and jumping in. Like, you can't really just spam attacks or anything like that. Like,
yeah,
Dragon Ball Fighters does a great job of being super accessible to everybody. Like, anyone can jump into that and have a lot of fun, right? Mm-hmm. Soul Calibur's never been really the super accessible type. You're either scrub or you're master. There's not really that level in between.
Yeah, like, when we played, we got really close in our first match.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just fucking destroyed me.
Once I learned the controls, yeah.
Yeah, you just fucking destroyed
these,
me.
These are my fighting games, yeah.
Taki is his fucking jam right there.
It's true.
It's true.
I should have warned you before you guys started playing that was his character. Like, I was, like, doing other stuff, and I walked up, I'm like, yep, playing Taki.
And when the Brock was just
I thought he was going to pick Geralt. I'm like, you're going to pick Geralt, right? So I pick another character. No, I'm searching for my jam.
Taki's his OG GF,
I'm
man.
Like, I guess I'll do Geralt.
So, and when we were watching the video today and they mentioned that they brought back a lot of controls from Soul Calibur 3, which was the best Soul Calibur,
yeah.
I was just like, all right, everyone's dying.
Everyone's dead. I'm going to be Taki, and I'm going to fucking murder everybody.
Everyone.
And then they actually showed Taki in the thing, and I'm like, oh, there's Taki. Oh, yeah. And she's got a cool samurai face mask. Oh, my God.
I hate that face mask so much.
But that's just because you can't see her kawaii face.
Yeah, she's too kawaii for words.
All right. So that about ends our normal coverage of E3.
We did it, guys.
We did
E3.
Oh, finally.
Finalized it out. Are we going to cover our top 14?
No.
No?
No.
Are we going to spoil
you have
that?
To, you have to go read. You have to go listen to everything. Go fuck yourself.
I mean, we.
All right, so I did 5.
I did 5.
I did 4.
And that's only because
I liked some of the ones you guys picked.
Well, that too, but also because we couldn't find 15 great games.
Yeah, I mean, once again, one of the strongest aspects to us is that we are just in this for the passion, for the love of it all.
Not to sound high and mighty on ourselves, but...
It's true, though. Like, we're not here to, like, just hand them out to be like, hey, yeah, whatever, give us press, give us free shit. It's just like, we like this game, and we want other people to like it, too, so we're going to talk about it, and here's an award.
Yep.
So that's it.
Yep.
And we can only find 14 this year, and so let's jump into it.
All right, we're going to go straight line, starting with Jason.
So these are in no particular order, obviously. These are just our awards that each of us gave, too. So
as we remembered them.
Yeah, as we remembered them and wrote them down. So I gave Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
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 Ultimate. Super Smash Brothers Ultimate.
Thank you. Oh, you want us to go one? Oh, wow. Okay, I'm going to go one. Then I had Gearbox's Project 1v1.
Oh.
That was fun.
We talked about that yesterday. That game was sick.
We gave Take-Two Interactive another award for their phenomenal booth of just being a fucking black box to everybody because ESA is just fucking this shit up.
Even though we're not big enough to actually get in there and drink their booze, we still gave them an award.
Respect.
Respect.
Yep. Valkyria Chronicles 4. Love the shit.
If you didn't give
so
it,
beautiful.
I was going to give
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And then my personal favorite that I loved from day one when we got here, Ashen. It's an Xbox title. It's Dark Souls Light. I love the shit of it with the narrative storyline.
Cool game.
Yeah.
I played it a little bit, but I watched you play it a bit, and it was a good game.
Everything about it is awesome.
All right, so for myself, you'll probably see a pattern in here, but Jump Force.
Yep.
So I loved that game. That game was good. And most people did. I mean, there's a lot of awards that were given to that one for it. Dragon Quest.
I think this is the one that would be the number one for all of us. Because there was a title all three of us were just like, fuck you, I'm giving it. It was Dragon Quest.
There's one more.
What was it?
Chris has it.
But, yes.
All three of us, though.
Yeah.
Really?
All
right.
Well, and what was like 4 years ago when we were walking around E3, I had my Game Boy Color. Original Game Boy Color.
That's right. That's
Dragon Warriors 1 and 2 on it.
Yep.
So, obviously, Dragon Quest.
Yeah, Dragon Quest 11 was beautiful.
Spider-Man, this is another one that all three of us were unanimous for it. And I was like, I'll give my award for it. Great fucking game. Amazing. Handled well. We talked about it. My Hero Academia, that game, fucking great.
Yep.
It played well. It's stuck true to the anime for it. There was a lot of like really good fast motion for it. Jason and I played it a few times so that we had a good control of different characters and whatnot, and it was good.
There's more to come up on that one for sure. This is very early on. Yeah.
Like there was only like probably a third of the characters open on that. So
yeah,
I'm
looking forward to hearing more about My Hero next year.
I can't
for
wait
sure.
to see a Reciproco on that.
Yeah.
All right, and last one, Space Hulk.
Which you talked about today.
Because all the 40K.
All right, on to me. Obviously, we talked earlier, East 8. Amazing game. I actually had to watch the anime.
For those of you, we haven't talked about that. For those of you looking to maybe purchase this game when it comes out soon, it's Y'S.
East
8.
Yeah. I had to watch the anime just to figure out how to pronounce it.
I just realized that. I'm like, yeah, we probably need to tell them how it's spelled because it sounds
it's
way different than it
Y-S
is.
Y-S.
8, numeral.
Roman numeral 8.
Yeah.
That one was good. Then another one that I gave to was Forza Horizon 4.
Yep. Good game.
Good game. I really enjoyed them.
If Jason played it, he might have actually thought about voting for that one as well.
Yeah.
Maybe.
One.
I'm not big on racing.
First Horizon arcade game I'm actually looking forward to. First arcade game I'm really looking forward to ever. In a long time.
Yeah.
Very, very long time. Another one, KQ Black.
Killer Queen Black.
Yes. So
you really wouldn't give that one?
Not the one that I would have argued over, like, being the one to present the award to the person.
Well, yeah, but it was unanimous.
Oh, yeah. No,
they
deserved
it.
They deserved it 100%. Yes. No, I meant, like, I was fighting you to have Dragon Quest be on my list.
Oh,
you were fighting me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Chris was like, I would like it, too. That's what I meant.
Well, Chris would have been, I would like it, too, except he was, like, three people behind us and couldn't get into the same one as us, so he was out of that conversation.
Right. But, I mean,
I had to run over to Xbox.
We talked about it on last night's podcast.
I just meant, like,
I would
happily step aside.
I had to run over Xbox
aside.
At the award. And then came back, got in line a little late, and so I was like, actually, I'm like, hey, what'd you guys think? Oh, yeah, you guys are
yeah. All right, so the last one. Is the best name out of all of them.
CIA Pro Waterboarding.
Yeah. That is a thing. Suck it, Alan. It's a thing. CIA Pro Waterboarding. Yeah.
or Star Bear Boats.
No, Star Bear Waterboarding.
Yep.
Star Bear Taxi. They made a little cutesy add-on in IndieCade.
About waterboarding.
About being a Tony Hawk pro skater.
Waterboarding.
Yes. With a power bow. And there's going to be a deathmatch mode, too, where you use guns.
Who knows what they're going to do? It's IndieCade.
No, the deathmatch is there. They unlocked it today, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, one of the other writers that I was talking to today was like, oh, my God, did you actually get to play with the guns? I'm like, no, I didn't get to play with the guns. Yeah.
The more you hear about it, the better it sounds.
So ridiculous. But that's our list. Yeah, that's our list. We're going to pull up a full review copy, or not review copy, God, full review of all of our top 15, 14 games that we liked, and we'll have links and all kinds of better descriptions for you in case you didn't want to listen to us talk about them.
So if you want to read that, it's ibetafirst.com or
ibif.co.
You can continue to follow us on Facebook, iBeatItFirst.com, Twitter, iBeatItFirst, Instagram, iBeatItFirst. We do still have our Twitter contest going on until Saturday and Sunday for each one. One Saturday, one Sunday, obviously. Mm. But those are still going, so definitely follow the instructions on the tweets so that you can get either a 12-month Game Pass or some other things.
Yeah, we have other stuff that we haven't really announced.
Yep.
So.
But there are some other things that we might be giving away to people that don't win the Game Pass and get, you know, maybe like some beta access to a cool game.
Yeah, we like you guys.
We do also have the physical copy of Moss, the statuette of Quill, and also the super kawaii pin of Quill.
And Quill is from Moss, in case you didn't know that.
Yes. Well, I kind of assumed that people...
Hopefully.
I assumed that if you listen to our podcast that you have listened to the...
This is America.
Yes. Yes. We can assume making an ass out of you.
We can assume that they don't.
No, we can make an ass out of you and me. But it's America.
I do like that more. I do like that.
Yep.
All right. Thanks a lot, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to our E3 coverage. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that you listened to all of them, so thank you, and I'm sorry.
Thank you so very much, everybody, for putting up with us, everything like that. Please provide any feedback, reviews, anything like that, iTunes, wherever you can. Just let us know if we sucked, if we're amazing, anything like that. We'd love to hear it.
Definitely. 5-star rating on iTunes. You can say whatever you want in the comments, like in the written review for it, but please, 5 stars. We don't put any money out for this. Like, we fund our trip to E3 all ourselves. We do everything all ourselves for it. We don't spend any additional money, and we don't take any advertisements. So definitely give us that. It just gets more listeners. That's the big thing, and we want to get out there. We want people to hear
our honest
the
shit.
Word from us.
Yeah, the honest shit. Yes. We're not in anybody's pockets. We're legit. Nope. That's the way to be.
Yep. Give us a review copy. We'll tell you if it's good or not.
Absolutely.
All right.
No paid reviews.
Yes. No paid reviews, especially for chairs. Yeah.
We'll take chairs.
We'll take chairs. Just don't, but give us don't money pay for me them. For it. Exactly. All right. Thanks a lot, everybody. And we will see you guys in about a week and a
Happy
half.
Happy E3.
Happy E3.
Yes.
Done.
Done.
Finally, we can sleep.
Oh, my God. I'm ready to drink my fucking ass off.
I'm getting so drunk.
Oh, it's
you know how
weak
I'm getting?
Kawaii
wasted. Oh, I'm gonna get so wasted. I'll be Kawaii first.
Oh my God! Oh my God! Wasted!
It's so wasted!
Yay! Gotta do the peace sign over the eyes.
Always.
The fact that we just all did that, phenomenal.